Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by CatholicSingles.com is ringing in the new year with savings for singles. You can save 20% by using the promo code BREADBOX when you register for a new account. Come meet other faithful Catholics and make 2020 a year to remember.
Hello there and welcome once again to the Gary Zimak Show. I'm your host, Gary Zimak. You and me, we're going to be hanging out for the next 30 minutes as we take a look at the Mass readings for the second Sunday in Ordinary Time. The message today is simple. It's one that you've heard many times, and in fact, whenever we pray the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father, we say these words, "Thy will be done." It flows off our tongue. It's an easy message. But I think as we look at these readings from the second Sunday in Ordinary Time, I think the question that has to be addressed to all of us, and that includes me, believe me, it includes me, is this. Am I really doing or desiring to do God's will at all times? I think we can all slip up from time to time. It's really easy because we tend to like what we like. I'm very guilty of this. But I think as we look at these readings today and let the Lord speak to us through His written word, I think the challenge is going to be there. And I think, hopefully, we're going to find the inspiration that we need to go into this year. And yes, we're still early in the year, especially in the liturgical year. This is only the second Sunday in Ordinary Time. Last week, we left the Christmas season with the Feast of the Baptism of the Lord. But we're still early in the game, and we can be in good shape when we begin Lent in another few weeks. So that's what we're going to focus on today. Thy will be done. We're going to pray in a minute. But before we do that, I just want to thank you for listening to this program, for helping me to spread the word about the show, and for your contributions, your financial contributions, to help me in my full-time ministry. I'm very grateful for that. I'm also grateful for your prayers. So thank you so much. Let's pray, okay? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for giving us another day. Father, we thank you for the blessing of being able to address you in prayer. Sometimes it boggles my mind, Father, when I think of the fact that you created me to be in a relationship with you. Sometimes I feel so insignificant. I feel like I don't matter sometimes. And it just is so incredible that you had to create me. You felt that your universe was incomplete without me, and you created me to be in a relationship with you. So, Father, first of all, I want to say thank you for that. Thank you all. Thank you also for the blessing of Jesus Christ, your Son, for allowing him to come to earth, to live among us, to suffer, to die, and to rise from the dead, so that we could one day live with you forever in heaven. That is an incredible blessing. We're very grateful for that. Thank you also for the gift of the Holy Spirit, who dwells in us first when we're baptized, and then the gift of the Holy Spirit is strengthened at our confirmation. So, Father, thank you for that tremendous gift. And I ask you on this day to give us a new and fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit, so that we may be able to hear your word this day, your message for us, and that we can respond to your challenge and go out into the world and live in a way that would please you. That could be hard. I realize that, Father, but I know with the help of your Holy Spirit, this is possible. And of course, we lift up all of our usual intentions, all the things that weigh us down, that make us upset and angry and scared and fearful of the future. We're going to give those to you, Father, and ask you to help us to meet those challenges that we face every day. And Father, all of these things we ask in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, who is your Son and our Lord, and who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you so much for praying with me. And again, thank you for tuning into the program. I am Gary Zimak. This is the Gary Zimak Show. We do this program once each week, and we focus on the Mass readings, the Sunday Mass readings each week. We're carried on several Catholic radio stations around the country, as well as numerous podcast outlets. So I'm very grateful for your listening to this show, and again, to all those stations who carry the show, and for your help in helping me to spread my word and to keep my full-time ministry alive. If you want to find out more about the work that I do, my books, my speaking engagements, if you want to make a contribution to my work, you can do all that by going directly to my website, which is followingthetruth.com. That's followingthetruth.com. Okay, so let's look at these readings today. The readings for the second Sunday in Ordinary Time. And as I mentioned earlier in the show, we're going to be in Ordinary Time for a few weeks until we enter Lent. And that's where we kind of hang out. There is nothing ordinary about Ordinary Time. I know it sounds like it's, oh yeah, just Ordinary Time. But no, we are entering into the ordinally numbered weeks of the liturgical year. So the ordinal numbers, the second Sunday in Ordinary Time, the third Sunday, the fourth, that's where the name Ordinary Time comes from, and that's what this is all about. It is, it's still a powerful time. Yes, it's not Advent, it's not Lent, but we don't want to just cast aside Ordinary Time as if nothing is happening. No, this is important. Every Sunday, every day, actually, of the liturgical year, the Lord speaks to us through a different set of readings. That's why I like the fact that we're able to look at the readings as provided by the church, because it was just up to me picking the Mass readings. I might go in a different direction or choose my favorite topics. I speak a lot about overcoming anxiety, so I might tend to gravitate to the readings that make me feel good or that I'm comfortable speaking about. But when we look at the readings given to us by the Church, who is guided by the Holy Spirit, it's a whole different ballgame. When we really are able to appreciate that dynamic aspect of our relationship with the Lord. This is a living and breathing relationship. He speaks to us. So when we're going to read these readings, He is speaking to us. And I'm going along with what the church prescribes for the Sunday Mass reading. So I'm not picking out my favorites. And, you know, sometimes it's challenging. Sometimes it's challenging for me to come up with the message. That's why I pray about it. I ask the Holy Spirit to help me. I read and reread the readings before I go on the show so that I have an idea of where I think the Holy Spirit is calling me to go with the readings. Thy will be done is the message that I keep getting for today. So let's look first at the Gospel for the second Sunday in Ordinary Time. We go to the beginning of John's Gospel, John chapter 1, verses 29 through 34. Now remember, last week we talked about the baptism of Jesus. This reading kind of ties into that. So we looked at what was happening, the events when Jesus was baptized by John last week. Today we're going to look at that further, this time from John's Gospel. Last week was Matthew's Gospel, but let's look at John's Gospel and hear what St. John has to say about the baptism of Jesus. John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one of whom I said, 'A man is coming after me, who ranks ahead of me because he existed before me.' I did not know him, but the reason why I came baptizing with water was that he might be made known to Israel." John testified further, saying, "I saw the Spirit come down like a dove from heaven and remain upon him. I did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'On whoever you see the Spirit come down and remain, he is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' Now I have seen and testified that he is the Son of God." So here we go. We see the baptism of Jesus through the eyes of John the Baptist. Now last week we heard about Jesus approaching John, who was the precursor or the forerunner, the guy who was to announce the Messiah. He was baptizing strictly not a sacramental baptism, but a baptism of repentance. He was baptizing people, telling them to repent because the Savior was coming. And John the Baptist was really clear that he wasn't the guy. He had his own followers, but he repeatedly said, "The one who comes after me," pointing to Jesus, "is the one that you should follow." So in a sense, you know, John had a crazy kind of ministry because he had his followers, but his job, and he did his job well, was to get rid of all of his followers and sort of pass them off to Jesus. Now think about the humility that's required to do that. A lot of times we get hung up on, I mean, at least I know I do, because it's challenging if you're at all involved in ministry, whether at your parish or on a larger scale. Sometimes you can, and I hate to say it because it makes me sound kind of bad, but it does happen. Sometimes you can forget, and I know it shouldn't happen, but it does, that it's not all about you, because you think, well, I have the best way to bring somebody to Jesus. And when you start all of a sudden losing your disciples, if you will, for lack of a better term, and they start following somebody else, you tend to sometimes possibly get it a little jealous, thinking that, well, no, I could present this message better. That is why John the Baptist was so humble. And that's why I realize that I have work to do, because, yeah, sometimes it hurts when I'm trying to convert somebody, even though it happens solely through the Holy Spirit. I mean, all I do is present the facts, plant a few seeds, but it really depends upon the Holy Spirit. But if somebody maybe doesn't want to hear what I have to say, sometimes it's a little painful, especially when they go to somebody else or read a different book, and then I realize that, oh man, I didn't get the job done. Maybe I could have said this or that. That's where I have to remember, this is not about me. If I'm truly doing the will of God, which is the subject of today's show, if I truly have the mindset of thy will be done, I shouldn't care who brings a soul to Jesus, right? I shouldn't feel jealous if somebody else does a better job than I do, because the only reason that I can be successful at all is through the power of the Holy Spirit. But that's something that I think we all have to work on. It can be really difficult, because our pride, even though we don't realize it, can get in the way. But John understood that. John understood that he was just called to bring people to Jesus. It wasn't all about him. And that's why John starts, this gospel starts with John saying, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He points forward to the message of Jesus, the mission of Jesus, I should say, as the Lamb of God, the sacrificial Lamb of God who died on the cross to take away the world's sins. And John goes on to say, a man is coming after me who ranks ahead of me. And then he said, the reason why I came baptizing with water, remember, John's baptism was not a sacramental baptism. The Holy Spirit was not involved. Was that he might be made known to Israel. So John was the forerunner, the opening act, sometimes called the precursor, to lead people to Jesus. And then John talks about this episode that we discussed last week, the baptism of Jesus. He saw the Spirit come down like a dove from heaven and remain on him. So we see this union of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus, the Son. And of course, the words from the Father saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." We had that last week. And John talks about he was sent to baptize with water, but John the Baptist was told that on whomever you see the Spirit come down and remain, he is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. That's the affirmation that John the Baptist needed, because remember, he didn't have all the answers. He was trying to do his best, follow the guidance of God the Father to do what his duty was. But this is the affirmation for John. Yes, this is the guy, Jesus. He is my Son. He is the one. You see the Holy Spirit descend upon him. He is the one. You keep directing people to John the Baptist. Now, here's what the danger is of a gospel like this. Sometimes we can look at this as strictly a historical event, and it was. But here's where we need to do a little bit more, because the Scripture, the Old and the New Testament, are God's message to us. It's a living, breathing message of the Lord. So we encounter him when we read the Scriptures. What is he saying to me? Again, this is a historical event. Jesus was baptized. John the Baptist called attention to Jesus. And I think this is going to be clear as we look at the other readings. But the thing to remember, the question for all of us is, am I leading others to Jesus by my actions and by my words? Am I humble enough to sometimes bite my tongue? You know, I know this all too well. It is not easy to bite my tongue and avoid saying what I want to say, and to maybe go out of my way to say the things I would rather not say, all designed to bring souls to Jesus Christ. What am I doing? And of course, we're commissioned. Once we're baptized, we are called. We are incorporated into the body of Christ. We become children of God. And we're given the mission when we're baptized. For years, I didn't know this, but we're given the mission to go out and make disciples. We're given the strength that we need. We receive the Holy Spirit the first time, just like Jesus, when we're baptized. And the Holy Spirit empowers us to do things that we are incapable of doing. Sometimes I feel, and this is not something that happened all at once with me, it's taken time, it's been a process, but I feel the Holy Spirit working through me at times, and it's pretty cool because I think, I can't do this. Where is this feeling coming from? Where are these words coming from? That doesn't mean I don't mess up sometimes, I do. But you'll start to feel this power if you cooperate with the working of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will not force His way into your life. He's not going to just push you aside and do the work through you. No, you're going to have to cooperate with these inspirations you get from the Holy Spirit. But the more you do it, the more you'll see the effectiveness. And this is where a reading like this is powerful. If you are baptized, if you are confirmed, you have what you need to go out there and do what John the Baptist did and make disciples. Are you doing that? Now, most of us will be here reading like this. We're going to find instances where we could do better. Well, that's good, because that's where the Lord is speaking to us. I know He's speaking to me right now. I feel it. And saying, this is what you are called to do. I need you to be a John the Baptist in the year 2020 and bring people to me. First, we have to convert. We have to become closer to Christ. We have to work on our relationship with Him, get to know Him better. And then we can let the power of the Holy Spirit flow through us and attract others to Jesus Christ. So let's look at the other readings now and tie this all together. The first reading comes from Isaiah chapter 49, beginning in verse 3. The Lord said to me, "You are my servant Israel, through whom I show my glory." Now the Lord has spoken, who formed me as His servant from the womb, that Jacob may be brought back to Him and Israel gathered to Him. And I am made glorious in the sight of my Lord, of the Lord, and my God is now my strength. It is too little, the Lord says, for you to be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob and restore the survivors of Israel. I will make you a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. You know, you and I, we're called to reach different people. There are people you can reach that I can't reach, and vice versa. To reach people and introduce them to Jesus. Many, many, many people, and that includes church-going Christians, don't realize the power of Christ in their lives. They just don't. We tend to think it's a spiritual, fluffy kind of help that the Lord can give us. No, He can perform miracles in our lives. And that includes material things, that includes spiritual things. It is not just all spiritual matters. He really wants to get involved in curing sickness. He wants to get involved in helping you with your finances. He wants to heal broken relationships. He really wants to do all of these things. And I think so many times we sell Him short when we don't give Him a chance to work in our lives. Somebody in your life, and I feel very strongly about this, somebody in your life, somebody you know right now, somebody at the office, a family member, a friend, somebody you see at church each week, needs to be given some hope. Because there's a lot of hopeless people living in the world today, and they need to be given hope that Jesus Christ wants to be involved in their life and He can turn things around for them. I think that it can be very easy to get hopeless in today's world, especially when you look at what's going on in the world, coupled with what's going on in our own lives. It's very easy to just give up. You might be in that position right now, and I'm going to tell you right now, the Lord can work miracles in your lives. If you need help, if you need some reassurance, please email me at Gary@followingthetruth.com, and I would love to start that discussion with you. And I will pray for you. Just email me. Let me know if you need it. But what I want to say is that you may need to be that hope for somebody else, somebody that I don't know, who doesn't listen to this show, who I have no access to. Somebody you know right now probably needs to hear that with God all things are possible. If you believe it, find somebody and let them know, because this is where you can be a John the Baptist. This is where you can bring Jesus, the light of the world, to somebody who is living in darkness right now. The Lord said to me, "You are my servant, Israel." Are you the servant of the Lord? If you call Jesus your Lord, and I know we talked about this on the show a few weeks ago, if you call him your Lord, that word Lord means master. Is he really your master? Do you listen to him? Do you follow him? Do you serve him? A lot of times we don't. Are we really living out thy will be done? What's God's will? God's will is for everyone to be saved, everyone to turn to him and have a relationship with him. Are you doing anything about that? Is there anybody you can speak the good news to? And again, you know, you don't have to do it by an extensive knowledge of the teachings of the Catholic Church. You might not know everything. I sure don't know everything. But you can start to talk about what the Lord has done in your life. Refer to Scripture if possible. You know, depending on the situation, you might scare some people by going too heavy on the Bible. But this is where the Holy Spirit can really help you. We are all called to be John the Baptists in the year 2020 and bring souls to Christ. Who in your life needs to be brought closer to Christ? The responsorial psalm sums this all up. Here I am, Lord. It's Psalm 40. Here I am, Lord. I come to do your will. Can you wake up every morning and say that? I really try to do that. And you know what? When you say that, expect to be challenged. The Lord's not going to give you an easy road. He might do it initially, but you are going to meet challenges. There will be times when you don't feel like doing God's will. There'll be times when you feel like doing your own will, when you want to take the easy road. Pray for the grace to be able to do this, because the Lord needs you, he needs me, to bring souls closer to him. I have waited for the Lord, and he stooped toward me and heard my cry. And he put a new song into my mouth, a hymn to our God. I can't tell you how many times in my life I have waited for the Lord. I have cried out, I have begged, I have pleaded, and yes, he has stooped toward me and heard my cry. And I watch things unfold in my life, not always in the way I expected, but there's a certain sense of comfort. You probably can relate to this. You probably have experienced this when you wake up one morning and maybe things haven't even changed externally, but you feel different. Have you been there? That's the grace given to you by the Lord. That's what he can do. He could change things in an instant. I've seen circumstances in my life change, external circumstances I'm talking about here, as well as the internal feelings. I've seen them change just like that. That's the power of the Lord. So don't give up, because the breakthrough that you're seeking, or that somebody else is seeking, somebody that you know who's becoming hopeless, who's becoming tired, their breakthrough might be right around the corner. You don't want to stop asking the Lord for what you need. Sacrifice or offering you wished not, but ears open to obedience you gave me. Holocausts or sin offerings you sought not. But then said I, behold, I come. In other words, behold, I'm here, Lord. I'm here to do your will. That obedience is so powerful. That's the greatest expression of love that we can have for our Lord, by that willingness to, even if we don't understand, even if we're not feeling it. There are a lot of days when I'm not feeling it. But I try, with the help of the Holy Spirit, and again, really lean on the Holy Spirit here, to show up and be obedient to the Lord. And one of the greatest ways you can do this, and boy, this does not come easy for me sometimes, is to avoid complaining about your circumstances. Man, isn't that tough? It really can be tough. But what a great act of obedience. Lord, I trust you. Whatever you say, Lord, you're sending me this problem, you got it. Just give me the grace and we're going to get through it. That obedience can get you so close to the Lord. It's incredible what that can do for you. In the written scroll, it is prescribed for me to do your will. Oh my God, is my delight, and your law is within my heart. You might not feel that initially. To do God's will is your delight. But if you keep at it, it's going to get a lot easier. It really is. I announced your justice in the vast assembly. I did not restrain my lips, as you, O Lord, know. What are you doing to announce the law, the Lord, in your life and in the lives of the people that you know in some way. It might be as small as offering to pray for somebody. It might just be a smile, a kind word, or a sincere, how's it going? How's your day going? And really listen to that person. You would not believe the difference you can make in somebody's life just by doing that. The second reading comes from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. Right at the beginning, chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to you who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be holy, with all those everywhere who call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are all called to be followers of Jesus Christ. We're all called. We are called to be disciples, followers of the Lord. And remember, when we're baptized, we become children of God. This is a big thing. We're now members of the church. So God's will is for you to follow Jesus Christ. God the Father wants you to follow His Son, Jesus. Are you doing that? When we look at this baptism of the Lord, this is the inauguration of the public ministry of Jesus. Remember, he lived in obscurity for approximately 30 years. There's very little detail about his private life during that time. His public ministry was only about 3 years. But when he was baptized and he received the Holy Spirit, he then set out publicly and in a very special way, in a way that you were called to do. I mean, this is why the Lord went through this whole baptism thing, so that he could institute the sacrament of baptism, so people like you and me could also receive the same Holy Spirit that Jesus had and go out there into the world, wherever there is, in each of our lives it's different, and do the will of the Father. That's what Jesus did perfectly. That's what John the Baptist did. That's what the Blessed Mother did. That's what Saint Joseph did. That's what so many saints did throughout the ages. And that's what we're called to do. Thy will be done. And that involves accepting sickness, even though it's painful, accepting rejection, accepting financial difficulties, challenges, people persecuting you. We're going to get all that kind of stuff. Are we willing to imitate Jesus and John the Baptist and Saint Joseph and the Blessed Mother and the various saints and say, Thy will be done? We can do that. It sounds completely overwhelming sometimes, but it really isn't. We can do that. We can say, Thy will be done. I don't like this flat tire. I don't like this rainy day. I don't like this cold weather. I don't like this hot weather. I don't like the fact that I'm really struggling to make ends meet financially. I don't like the fact that my ministry is not succeeding as much as I would like it to, and on and on and on. But Thy will be done. Lord, help me. Please make it better. But I'm okay with things the way they are. If that's what you want, just give me the grace and we can do it. This has been an ongoing struggle for me, but I'll tell you what, the more I do it, the more peace I feel. Well, I can't believe it. We are just about out of time. I want to thank you for listening to the Gary Zimek Show. Remember to go online, followingthetruth.com, for more information or to get in touch with me. Thank you again. God bless you. And I look forward to connecting with you next week on the Gary Zimek Show.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by... Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small-batch, artisan coffee using top-tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/Redbox Media. Experience coffee like never before.